Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Tomahawk Take Podcast. Thank you, as always, for joining us. I am your host, Jake Mastriani, and with me is Alan Carpenter.
Good day.
And Fred Owens.
Hi there.
And, guys, we want to go ahead and make sure that we got this podcast recorded this week. Obviously, next week will be Thanksgiving, and we hope that you all have a great Thanksgiving, COVID Thanksgiving, wherever you get to get together with family, hopefully. But we did have some news, obviously, with the Braves that we wanted to discuss and talk about, and actually had a rather large signing, at least as far as money-wise. It didn't really get a lot of national publicity, but talk about that a little bit later. But first, just another news item I want to just kind of briefly mention is Kyle Mueller got added to the 40-man roster. The deadline for teams to add players to their 40-man roster and not lose them in the upcoming Rule 5 draft is coming up November 20th. So the Braves had to get him added to the 40-man roster to avoid losing him. So that's why they made that move. And also Mueller's just obviously a big-time prospect, big-time arm who we could potentially see at sometime in 2021. So good to see him protected on the roster. Fred, I believe that brings them to 37 on the 40-man.
Yeah, I think it's 37 or 38. I haven't actually looked at the number today.
37 is correct.
37 is correct.
That, okay. That was part of the Braves press release on him.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yeah, so the 40-man's at 37 right now, and I believe that's with Smiley added to the roster as well. And that'll be the next news item that I kind of teased at the beginning here. The Braves signed Drew Smiley to a one-year deal worth $11 million. And this shocked me a little bit just because Smiley's not somebody that I'd really given much thought of. And that's just the way Antopoulos apparently works, is we're all looking in one direction and he goes the other one. And more often than not, it's worked out for him. So you can't really fault the guy or criticize him for it. But, $11 million for Smiley, Alan, that seemed rather steep to me just when I first saw the news.
Yeah, the estimate from a couple of sources I checked was basically $5 to $6 million for a 1 year deal for him. So, yeah, and he wasn't even listed among the top 40 or 50, depending on who you're subscribing to, available free agents this offseason. So that, by almost any standard, is an overpay. But last time we talked, I was talking about the easy path, the easy signs, the things to get done quickly. And I think that's kind of the way that Anthopoulos went this time. They found a guy who had some interest in the Braves. They had some interest in him, and I'm guessing it's analytically driven. They decided, okay, we're going to snap this guy up now and make sure that we got at least one starting pitcher now. It cost them. I frankly think they could have probably got him cheaper, but apparently the word is that his agent was looking for maybe a 3-year, $30 million deal. I think that's a little robust, to say the least. But nonetheless, they came together on an $11 million pact, and then we'll just see how it goes. It's going to be an overpay, even if he turns out pretty well. My suspicion is that you're going to have some mixed results with him, and he'll have some good outings, some bad outings, and he'll occupy effectively the fourth or fifth slot in the rotation. I mean, he's going to give you some innings, and that's what we need. So I suppose it's an okay signing. It's not a bad signing. It's not a terrible overpay, I guess, but it's at least checking off one of the boxes that the Braves need, because they're going to need, I believe, 2 to 3 pitchers at least for next year.
Yeah, Fred, I mean, I guess in a normal offseason, maybe – $11 million wouldn't be terrible for a middle of the rotation starter. If you're thinking he is that, I'm still not sure on that. Obviously, he had a nice year with the Giants, you know, a short year, but you know, the way this offseason was going, what we were expecting, I mean, $11 million for a guy like Smiley, I just really didn't see that happening this offseason with the, you know, the budget crunch.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a shock that they signed him, and I don't want to get the impression that it was a horrible mistake. It was a serious overpay, and I don't think anybody disagreed. I mean, he was compared last year to the way that Madison Bumgarner pitched last year, And I just don't see that as an $11 million pitcher. They gave Robbie Ray $8 million, and they wouldn't pay $10 million for Brad Hand. No teams would. And suddenly Drew Smyly, because he had 26 and a third good innings, is worth $11 million. Now, I hope he's right. I hope that the metrics are right. But I looked at him, and Alan wrote about him. And I looked at him, and I went, yeah. But if you look back to the 1st of July last year, which is when he was in theory really good, from that point forward, the numbers really aren't that wonderful. I mean, he sort of had since last July when he went to the Giants and he started pitching really well, and batters were hitting .241 off of him with a 7.42 OPS. And he had an ERA of 4.15 and a 1.26 whip. He wasn't walking people. That wasn't it. He only walked 30 people in both seasons combined. So he's not walking people. He's also not he wasn't striking many out. I know his strikeout rate was high, but he struck out 110 people, but people were hitting him. The whip, a 1.26 whip, and he's not walking people means there's a lot of hits out there. And he also gave up 1.5 home runs per nine innings, which is essentially one home run every outing if you figure that an outing's six innings. So, yeah, okay, he's a 4 ERA pitcher. That makes him a fourth or fifth starter. I'm not sure that that's worth it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope he comes out and is Cy Smyly next year and wins a couple of awards. But I just don't see $11 million worth of pitcher there.
Yeah, and so my follow-up question to this, Fred, was, you know, are the Braves done with starting pitching now? Because, you know, we had heard kind of some rumblings of them looking into a John Lester or an Adam Wainwright, but at $11 million, I mean, you almost have to figure this was the starting pitcher that they were going after.
Well, I think they're going to trade for another pitcher. I've said that a couple of places. I don't think they're going to sign one because I think that they looked out there and said, we can't afford any of these guys that are going to sign that are good, and we've got better in-house. Yeah, we'll plug Smyly into the fourth hole, and we'll look for another pitcher. You know, I think there's pitchers available out there. John Gray out of Colorado is certainly going to be available. Maybe a Senzilla will be available out there as well. There's pitchers around that will be traded. And I think, and I said somewhere in one of the comments that this may set them up to trade a prospect, or a pitcher that hasn't quite done what they want them to do, for future value for present value, and gets a pickup of John Gray for a year or a Senzilla or one of those guys that's going to be out there. But I think they'll try to get another pitcher, whether they'll be able to do it or not, but I don't think they're done with pitching. I think they're done with signing, but not done with pitching.
Yeah, Alan, and I think, you know, you kind of made the point in our Twitter group chat, you know, with the pitchers not going, you know, pitching a full season this year, especially with the Braves having a lot of young guys, you know, they still may be on somewhat of an innings limit, you know, if we do get a full season in 2021. So you're probably going to still need a lot of pitchers to help eat some innings up this year, which, you know, is probably why they brought a guy like Tomlin back, get a guy like Smyly who can eat some innings. And we obviously don't know the timetable for Soroka. We're all kind of just expecting him to be, you know, back for opening day or at least that first month. But, you know, I think they've got to get at least another starting pitcher, if not a couple more.
Yeah, and I'm in the same camp there, and I'm also in a full agreement with Fred that I think a trade target is certainly in the offing. The complaint I've had the last two off seasons really is that Alex Anthopoulos has not moved any of the prospects that look like they're down in the pecking order, and those guys are still hanging around and still not really looking like major league players, and I don't know that their value as trade options has increased at all, but they need to be moved, and they need to, and if in this environment where they're going to be cheap, it's time to move them is now. It's going to now or never kind of a proposition. So yeah, maybe Fred's favorite trade target from Pittsburgh, Joe Musgrove, might be also on that list. You do have some veteran guys who might sign cheaper contracts. I don't know if John Lester is in that groove or not, or Adam Wainwright would even be willing, but you've got those kind of guys that might still be available in the signing market. I mean, heck, who knows if King Felix is still hanging around wanting to pitch. But looking like, I mean, I'm torn. It's like you spent $11 million on Smiley that you didn't have to. Are you trying to spoil the free agent pitching market for everybody else and then figure, okay, well, now we can go after full price for everything is what the agents are probably saying. But it also makes me wonder, do the Braves have more money than we thought? And I don't know the answer to that. That's why the $11 million was such a crazy number. It sort of blew our initial assessments right out of the water. But that said, yeah, we're going to need some more pitching. We're definitely going to need some more pitching. And I think the trade market may be the best way to get at it. So I think there's going to be some interesting movements between now and the end of the year, probably, as far as that goes. But we will see what happens.
Yeah, I mean, we came into this offseason kind of thinking the Braves had, you know, maybe 20, 30 million to spend. And, you know, they've already spent 12 million on two pitchers. And, you know, maybe the biggest need yet is to find a bat to replace Ozuna. So I hope you're right. I hope maybe the Braves have a lot more to spend than we're anticipating, which would be really nice to see because there are still some needs. Obviously got to find that bat. I think they still find another starter. Maybe in the $5 million or less range. And then I think you got to get somebody like a Felix Hernandez that you can get on a minor league deal to kind of, you know, add to some depth in spring training. So yeah, I think there's still a lot, left to be done there. The $11 million is just what surprised. Like Fred said, that don't want to say that Smiley's a bad pitcher or anything, but that $11 million just seemed like a lot. I would be curious to know if there were other teams that were offering him around that amount.
Yeah, get this too. In what world would you have expected a month ago that Gausman would have signed with the Giants for his $19 million qualifying offer and Smiley gets $11
million? Yeah.
It's just crazy numbers.
Maybe things aren't in bad a shape as we thought they would be. I don't know.
Well, Gausman signed because he wasn't going to get that anywhere.
I mean, I don't know why they offered it to him.
No, I don't either. Gotcha. And I mean, the Stroman QO, I understood. But
yes.
Why would you do that to Gausman when he's liable to be the real self again next year?
Yeah. And, speaking of money saving, maybe the way the Braves do that is by non-tendering some guys. But there's honestly not a ton of money to be saved there. But that deadline is coming up as well. I believe that's on December the 2nd. So obviously that'll happen before we, record again, with Thanksgiving next week. So, MLB Trade Rumors put out their non-tendered candidate list, and three Braves were on that list. And I wrote about this earlier this week, but, they mentioned Johan Camargo, Luke Jackson, and Grant Dayton as possible non-tender candidates. And they have, Camargo and Luke Jackson set to make about $2 million in arbitration this year and Grant Dayton to make about $800,000. So, like I said, not a ton of save potential there, but, definitely, you know, three guys who I think could potentially get non-tendered, in the coming weeks. But Fred, your thoughts on the non-tender candidates? Do you see them non-tendering any of those guys?
Well, I don't think they'll tender Luke Jackson the contract. I mean, he's imminently replaceable. And I know that, he's got this ground ball rate, but Luke doesn't ever has clean innings. If you want to give Luke a chance, you bring him in with nobody on base. And Brian Snicker just refuses to do that most of the time. I think that they non-tender Luke because he's replaceable. Now, that doesn't mean they will. Camargo and Dayton are going to be so cheap that you tender them and then try to trade them if you don't want them. Because, why would you let Camargo walk off and sign with, the Mets for some reason for $1.5 million when you can sign him for $1.9 and trade him and get something back? And Dayton, I don't think Dayton's exciting enough that people are going to want to pay him a lot of money. And he wasn't awful last year. He surprised me by hanging around as long as he did. I think Luke Jackson is a non-tender. But I think they'll keep Camargo, and I think they'll try to trade him. And Dayton, we lost people out of the bullpen. Dayton's known quantity. If we get people in, tender him and trade him.
Yeah, no, I'm kind of right there with you. That's kind of what I wrote the other day, is that it's just the cost savings is not really that big of a deal to just kind of hang on to some of these guys and see if maybe you need them for depth or that possibly you put him in a trade. With Jackson and Dayton, I believe, according to Fangraphs, neither one of them have minor league options, which, you know, would kind of make more sense for maybe them to get non-tendered, especially, like you said, you know, Luke Jackson. Camargo does have minor league options, so it, to me, it makes even more sense just to bring to keep Camargo for the depth. Like you said, he's somebody that, you know, probably could have value in a trade if you wanted to move him somewhere. So, you know, if I had to make a guess at it, Alan, I think Jackson doesn't get tendered a contract, and I don't think Dayton does either, just because of the amount of lefties we already have in the bullpen.
Yeah, I think Jackson's probably gone. And as far as Dayton's going, I think that the Braves might offer him a little bit less to stick around. But if not, then they'll let him go and then try and leave the door open, see if he wants to come back after sticking his toe in the water and finding out how much there is or isn't in the free market. So, he's also probably replaceable. Other than that, yeah, they already released effectively. They not released. So Fulte's no longer with the team, so he was the one guy who was going to have a high arbitration number had he still been in the majors. And so you could say that money's already been saved, and it dwarfs anything else that those other three guys had combined, I think. So, this is not a money thing. This is a player thing. And as Fred suggested, it's also a can you get something for him kind of guy in Camargo and or baby Dayton, but more Camargo if you do try and bring him back. So this is not going to be a big event. Kind of like the Rule 5 draft won't be a big event either, I don't think. But it's part of the calendar that we go through at this time of the year and part of the hand-wringing that we see a little bit going on. But fortunately, I guess it's going to happen mostly with other teams this year because the Braves really don't have a lot of drama happening at this point.
I think the three openings on the roster may be they're sitting waiting and hoping that the players who are non-tendered, like maybe Eddie Rosario or a couple of those guys, are available and they can get to them.
Yes.
Because if you keep those three roster spots open, then you can go out and say, okay, look, Eddie, they non-tendered you. We'll give you $8 million. Come over here, play a little left field for us. And solve part of the problem with that. But I think that's the beauty of those empty 40-man slots right now.
Yeah, to see a guy who had a 115 OPS plus last year get non-tendered like that, that's kind of interesting.
Well, they've got a lot of outfielders, and Rosario strikes out a ton.
He does.
But he hits a lot of homers, too. And that's the thing. They have a lot of good outfielders coming up, and they got to have a place for them. That's the thought, anyway. I don't know whether they'll do it, but that's the thought.
Yeah, so Fred kind of jumping the gun on me a little bit there because the other thing I wanted to talk about, no, you're good, is that, you know, on MLB trade rumors, you know, not non-tender list, they do mention a couple of big names because apparently all the other teams are trying to save money while the Braves are out here throwing $11 million at Drew Smiley. you could have a lot of interesting names get non-tendered. They mentioned Chris Bryant as a possible non-tender candidate. I highly doubt that'll happen. But they do have them on there. They have Rosario on there. So, you know, that's a place where the Braves could look and see a couple of interesting free agent names come up that maybe they weren't expecting, you know, that could really help them out. Steven Matz, obviously from the Mets, is a name on there. John Gray even is on here. As we were talking about some of the starting pitching depth. Tommy Pham's listed on there. If the Padres did that, I don't know why, but he would be a great candidate to fill in at left field. But a lot of good non-tender candidates on there. And, guys, I know we were kind of talking about it before, and Fred, since you already kind of mentioned it there, are there any other names on that list that you're looking forward to maybe becoming free agents and the Braves maybe targeting them?
Well, most of them don't really fit a need for us. I mean, Eddie Rosario fits a need, left-handed bat, left fielder, he's not great in the outfield, but he's not awful either. Really, Pham is a good one. But I don't know. I don't see anybody else. Maybe Brian Goodman. I like Brian Goodman a lot. I know a lot of people don't, but Brian Goodman played a lot of good outfield for the Angels. Left-handed bat, plays all three outfield positions. Maybe he's the counterpart to Adam Duvall. And he's inexpensive. He's a $2 or $3 million player. And if you get him and play him, platoon him opposite Duvall, let him hit against right-handers, Duvall against left-handers, maybe that works. But other than that, I didn't see. I mean, I've always liked Steven Matz, but I don't know if he can stay healthy. And that's a problem because you don't want to hire another Cole Hamels kind of thing. So really, it's really Rosario and maybe, you know, if I don't think they're going to non-tender Bryant either. That would kind of be silly. You tender him a contract and trade him if you want to do that. But I just think that Rosario and maybe Matt, maybe a pitcher out there that we haven't think of, a reliever maybe, be it, but I don't see anybody else.
Yeah, Alan, I don't know if you had a chance to look at that list, but any other names on there kind of stick out to you?
Well, the one thing that sticks out for a wholly different reason is Sanchez, catcher from the Yankees. How far Gary Sanchez has fallen. I mean, just a few years ago, he was, well, I mean, hitting a bunch of bombs for the Yankees, and they were kind of saying, oh, okay, his defense will kind of grow as he continues to age. Well, both his defense and his offense has sort of hit rock bottom now, and he's probably going to be non-tender because the Yankees couldn't trade him if they wanted to right now either. So I just that being a notable name of somebody who's fallen there. But other than that, I don't have any additional names that I think fill any needs. I do kind of like the idea of Dan Winkler since he's a fellow UCF guy. he's on the list, but I don't see the Braves picking him up either. So, yeah, it's kind of honestly a thin list. There are very few guys that really, really are going to be in high demand here. I don't think John Gray's going to get non-tender by the Rockies. Yes, he's a trade candidate, definitely, but I don't think they're going to let him go for nothing, just like with Chris Bryant. So you got Bryant, you got Rosario, you got John Gray, and maybe a smattering of others that might be of interest, but that's about it. It's not a big list this time.
Yeah, no, I think it'll be interesting to see what teams do, and it'll kind of give you an indication of what teams are going to be doing this offseason, what teams are kind of budget restricted and maybe looking to kind of shed payroll. So I think that'll be very telling for that. And again, that deadline is coming up November 22nd or November 20th.
Tomorrow.
So yeah.
On our calendar. Well, by the time you guys hear this, we'll know the answers.
So that'll be interesting to see if any new names come up on the free agent market. And then just before, you know, we were recording here, we were always kind of chatting a little bit, and we were kind of throwing out some trade speculation this offseason, mainly kind of trying to find that big bat that the Braves need to find in the lineup because, you know, there's just really not a ton out there on the free agent market, you know, really outside of Ozuna. And, you know, I know we had kind of thrown around a couple of names. Alan, I'll start with you. What are some of those trade target names that maybe the Braves could look to fill that bat? Or if you want to look for a pitcher as well, just trying to give our fans something to listen to on Thanksgiving and get excited about.
Well, I'm looking at a couple of different teams here that are in the cusp of trying to figure out if what they want to do. Well, the Red Sox are one of them. The Cubs are another one of them. I suppose the Rockies are that, except they never can figure out what they want to do. I'll take the Red Sox here because I think I like to give Fred the Rockies. But, I've had been looking at the idea of maybe J.D. Martinez as a possible trade candidate. Not so much in that we really need him as bad as you'd think, but we need a destination for somebody like Ender Inciarte. They've lost Jackie Bradley Jr., or probably lost Jackie Bradley Jr. So if we could send Inciarte that direction, that takes care of center field for them in a difficult position, a difficult park to play in, and that also frees up a bunch of money for them and gives them a chance to maybe move in a different direction. I don't know how the free agent market is going to go for some of these bigger bats because there's, well, for instance, John Morosi tweeted out this evening that Nelson Cruz is probably going to be sitting and waiting by the phone until they figure out what that's going to happen with the DH in the National League next year. And that's because he doesn't want to limit his own market. If the National League ends up with a DH, then that perhaps gets him some more money. I think that's going to be the case with a lot of guys. And we talked before about the DH being an unknown, and the fact that I think that the sport is being irresponsible and not resolving this right away so that teams can plan ahead and figure out what they want to do with that. So that's going to affect the markets for Cruz. It might affect the market for Martinez. It might affect the market for Ozuna and a couple other guys. So I still hope that gets resolved any day now, but I don't see any movement happening towards that. So I would like to see Inciarte traded to some place where he can be useful. I think the Red Sox might be one of those places. I don't know if you can get Martinez back in return, but it seems at least plausible. Obviously, there have to be a lot more exchange of things going on there, maybe some money and some of these pitching prospects we've been talking about that are withering on the vine. But that's at least one shot there that I'll shut up for a while.
No, I like that. And, you know, obviously that'd be a big bat in the lineup. The desperately needed, but Fred, why don't you give us a trade idea that'll make the fans all happy, and go ahead and call Alex and make sure that it gets done.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's going to make anybody happy, but I was just pondering what the Rockies are going to do, because they've got a superstar third baseman, seven gold gloves, who's unhappy, wants to win. The Rockies are not going to win this year or for the next 3 years. They just aren't that close. And their system doesn't have the pitching. They need pitching. They need to move that contract so they can get on and sign Trevor Story, extend Trevor Story. So I was thinking maybe they'd be willing to throw in part of his money. If you could bring Arenado back for $20 million a year to Atlanta and John Gray along with him, and send Riley, Newcomb, and Wright and maybe Camargo out there with him, both sides should be terribly happy over that, because that would put a gold glove third baseman on the team. It would put a hitter behind Freddie. We still need another one, but it would give you a hitter behind Freddie. It would also add a veteran starter to the rotation who's going to go out there and give you a good year. And Gray and Inciarte's money are sort of a swap, so you flip Inciarte into that group, and you know they have to send you maybe, I don't know, over 5 years, something like $70 million. But they're going to save in that 5 years $120 million. So, you know, it's that kind of deal. And I'm, you know, I told Alan when we started this, I know AA doesn't think that way, but it sure seems to make sense for both sides.
Yeah, no, I think it makes a ton of sense. And it feels like one of those moves that you make to go win a World Series. And, you know, we've kind of been talking about that really the last two off seasons. You know, at what point is Antopoulos going to use these prospects to go out there and make a move that's going to put the Braves over the top? And you know, to his credit, he's been able to put together a good team, a winning team, a team that was, you know, frankly, you know, one win away from going to the World Series, and I think they would have won it had they gotten there. So, you know, he's been able to do all that without, you know, trading away the farm, but you know, it just still seems like at some point he's going to have to use that prospect capital to make that big move to put the Braves over the top. And, you know, whether that's Arenado or not, you know, I think that move, you know, makes a lot of sense really for both sides. And, you know, another thing to keep in mind here is the Braves, you know, they have the opportunity to go out there and take on a contract like that because of the deals they got with Acuna and Albies that, you know, really opened up their payroll for the next several years. Obviously, they got to pay Freddie here after 2021, and you know that'll add another big contract to it. But still, I mean, the Braves are in pretty good shape, you know, to take on a contract like that, and I think Arenado could, you know, be the difference to put the Braves over the top and make them a World Series champion.
Yeah, the question is whether you want to spend, say, $20 million on Ozuna and watch him play DH only, or $20 million on Arenado and watch him give you a Gold Glove defense at third base in addition to the hitting he provides. So it's an interesting question.
So to your point, you're exactly right. A lot of this is going to shake out when the non-tenders are done, because that's when you're going to see who's got what to trade. And if you bring in a Arenado and a Rosario or a J.D. Martinez and somebody like that to fill it in, then you're perfectly right. That fills it in, and it gives you a quality player as opposed to a basically one-dimensional player.
And then you fill in the extra bat with, say, Jock Peterson to go with Duvall as platooning in left field, and now you got a pretty formidable lineup.
Exactly. Now we're feeling really good on Thanksgiving, if we can make all that happen. But no, definitely fun to think about and talk about. You know, the off season's going to be picking up here a little bit after Thanksgiving, we hope. But especially with the non-tenders, being, decided here, quickly, you know, that'll give, like I said, I think that'll give us a better idea of what teams are really going to be going for this off season, what teams may be looking to shed a little payroll. So I think that'll clear things up a little bit. Again, going back to the top, the Braves seemingly don't, you know, at this point don't seem to be hurting payroll wise if you're going to throw $11 million at Smiley. So hopefully they got a lot more left to do. I mean, you got to figure Antopoulos knows this team's right there. Obviously, I know he does. And this isn't the time where you can just sit back and, you know, hope things fall into place. You gotta go for it. The Braves got a window here in the next 4 to 5 years to win a championship.
And just to clarify, the non-tender is December 2nd at 8 p.m., so it's not next week, but the week after that.
Oh, yeah, November 20th was the players for the Rule 5 draft, so right. Thanks for clearing that up,
yes.
Fred. But still, that'll happen before we get back on the podcast again. So be looking for that, because I think that'll be very telling. And once that happens, hopefully this offseason will pick up a little bit. But again, you know, what Alan talked about, we talked about last podcast as well. You know, we got to know if there's a DH or not. And until that happens, you know, really, you're not going to see much happen this offseason. And even knowing what the playoffs are going to look like, we still don't know that. So, you know, until those things get decided, I think it's going to continue to be somewhat of a slow offseason. But I really think, you know, after Thanksgiving, the beginning of December, especially with the winter meetings coming up, hopefully we'll have a lot more clarity at that point, and hopefully we'll see who's available out there and what the Braves can do to kind of put that contender together. So, as always, appreciate everyone listening to the podcast.
Okay. Rule 5 draft is on December 10th. They have to have the roster finalized by Friday, but the Rule 5 draft is December the 10th.
Yeah, normally that's always at the end of the winter meetings there.
All be virtual this year. So.
Yeah. So be a little different, a little COVID winter meetings here. But, again, just hopeful to have some more information by that point. Maybe Manfred won't.
Yes, where will Scott Boras have his little confab this year?
Yeah, that's usually all it is at the winter meetings, right? It's what Scott Boras thinks. It seems like he gets more headlines at the winter meetings than anybody else. But
lately,
but again, just want to thank everyone for tuning into the podcast. Make sure you check out the site TomahawkTake.com, as we'll have a lot of off-season articles, speculation, trade speculation articles, free agent signings and players that we may be interested in. So make sure that you check out the website, continue to listen to the podcast. We'll, like I said, we'll take off next week for Thanksgiving, but then we'll be back and have our preview before the winter meetings get started. So make sure you subscribe to the Tomahawk Take podcast. As always, we appreciate your support. We'll talk to you next time.
This, the pumpkin spice version of the Tomahawk Take podcast, has been a production of TomahawkTake.com and Fansided LLC, a subsidiary of Minute Media, Inc. Opinions expressed on the show today are those of the participants alone. Minute Media disavows all of them. All rights reserved. One of the musical selections used today comes to you under the auspices of the Creative Commons license, terms of which are available at creativecommons.org/licenses/by/4.0. This was a piece by Kevin MacLeod entitled Bad Ideas Clean. His works are featured at incompetech.filmmusic.io. All other selections used come via rights purchased by TomahawkTake.com. Hey, we're certainly thankful for all of you that tune into the podcast, and our wishes for all of you next week is the ability to have a safe time gathering with friends and family over cornbread dressing, sweet potato casseroles, and pecan pies. We'll see you out for the next inning.